From the very beginning, joy has been the most prominent and prevalent emotion associated with Christmas. The folks of that first Christmas certainly experienced a lot of joy. It wasn't the joy of festive lighting, decorated trees, gift swapping, pageants and choirs, scrumptious food, or even family get-togethers. Most of these things would have been strange to them, in fact. No, their joy centered on far greater things, things that had been long predicted but were now beginning to be fulfilled. And they could hardly contain their joy as they watched these things unfold. Beginning with Gabriel's announcement to Zechariah about a year before that he and Elizabeth would have a child in their old age, the joy began. Then, when Mary visited Elizabeth about 6 months later and they swapped stories and testimonies, the joy just increased. Mary burst forth in exuberant prophetic praise and said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he that is mighty hath done unto me great things, and holy is his name." And then when John, that would be John the Baptist, was born, the joy spread through the entire family and extended to the neighbors and the surrounding community. Quoting again from Scripture, "Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had shewed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her," it says in Luke 1, 57 and 58. It was a time of great rejoicing. And Zechariah, who had been struck dumb during the time of his wife's pregnancy as a sign, burst forth also in prophetic praise. And then on the night of the Savior's birth, there was great rejoicing in and around Bethlehem. Poor, tired, weary from a lengthy journey over rugged terrain, housed in a stable behind the inn because there wasn't a room to be found, Mary gave birth to her baby boy. And even in these meager conditions, there was joy. Joseph and Mary rejoiced at the birth of the child. Angels appeared to shepherds on the surrounding hills to announce the birth of the child. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Luke 2, 8 to 11. And we know that the shepherds went into Bethlehem to see firsthand what the angel had told them about, and that they came back rejoicing and praising God. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Luke chapter 2, verse 20. But the joy didn't end there. There was joy among the people as they heard John the Baptist proclaim some years after this that the arrival of the Messiah was near. And as they confessed their sins and were baptized and made things right with God. There was joy after that as they heard the Master's teaching and witnessed the miracles he did, healing the sick and even raising the dead. There was sorrow when they saw him crucified, but then there was joy as they heard that he had risen. And there was joy on the day the Holy Spirit was poured out, on the day of Pentecost, and 3,000 people got saved. And there was continued joy as the disciples continued to proclaim the resurrection of Jesus in Jerusalem, and miracles continued to be done among the people. quoting from Scripture, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness. That's a lot like joy, isn't it? And singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. Acts 2, 46 and 47. Then as the gospel spread through Palestine and regions beyond, there was continued joy as the people received the good news. Reading from Acts, therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. Acts 8, 4 to 8. Wherever the gospel came in those ensuing years, all across the Roman Empire and beyond, there was great joy. Oh, there was a price to be paid. Some of the disciples were imprisoned, persecuted, tortured, and even killed. But nothing could kill their joy. They died with God's praises on their lips, secure in the hope they had in their Messiah, their Savior, their Redeemer, their Lord. And they knew they were headed to a better place. Nothing could take away their joy. Joy has been the defining characteristic of true believers everywhere since the first announcement to Mary that she would be the mother of the promised Messiah. Joy is the essence of the Christmas message and of the gospel message. And these two are inseparable. You can't have one without the other. It is the message concerning Christ. In Him is found salvation and hope and redemption through His sinless life, His sacrificial death on the cross, His glorious resurrection, and His return to the Father's right hand where He sits in glory. Salvation is free for each of us and freely extended to all. Our part is to receive it. And when we do, there's joy all around. There is joy for those giving the message. There is joy for those receiving the message. There is joy in a community when the gospel is received. There is joy on earth when a sinner repents. And there is joy in heaven each time a sinner repents. Jesus said, likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Luke 15, verse 10. Words of Jesus. Because of what God set in motion at Christmas, there is joy everywhere, on earth and in heaven, in the past and the present and the future, and in the present as we anticipate the future. There is joy of past blessings. There is joy in God's present faithfulness and provision. And there is joy as we anticipate the things to come, the coming of our Lord, the resurrection, Christ's coming rule upon the earth, the new heaven and the new earth, the absence of sin and affliction, and so much more. Tell me, do you feel joy when you consider these things? You should. The joy that was generated that first Christmas night through the arrival of the long-awaited Savior still endures today and has never ended. In fact, it only began that night and has only grown and increased with every passing year. Christ's birth has brought joy at every level through each succeeding generation and will endure into eternity. And we should sense that joy at Christmas time more keenly, perhaps, than at any other season, because it was the Savior's birth on that first Christmas night that set it all in motion. 2,000 years later, the joy has not diminished. So, current problems, considerations, and circumstances aside, should there be joy at Christmas? Oh, yes, there should be joy. Joy that gladdens the heart, that calms our fears, that melts away our unbelief, that smothers our pride, that unmasks and banishes our self-righteousness, that erases our sorrows and leaves us at peace. For was it not love that sent Jesus that first Christmas night? A love so perfect, there's not another like it. So powerful, there's nothing that can conquer it, that it can't conquer. So all-encompassing, there's nowhere it can't reach. So therapeutic, there's nothing it can't heal. So determined, there's no distance it won't go. So self-sacrificing, there's no price it's unwilling to pay. So personal and specific, it knows our very name. Yet so universal, it passes no one by and shuts no one out. The Father invites one and all, come and be healed. Accept my gift of love in the person of my Son and be made whole. Leave your sin and your heartaches and your sorrows with me. Accept my gift of life. Come, be cleansed and restored. Then go, share the message with others. The message of Christmas is that the Savior has come. And this is easily the best news man ever heard or the human heart ever conceived of. And wherever this message is heard and received, it always brings the same irrepressible, inexpressible joy. It brought joy the first time it was announced, and it still brings joy wherever it is heard and received, and will continue to bring joy into eternity. Wave after wave, layer upon layer, generation after generation, age after age, everlasting, endless, eternal joy forever. May I ask you in closing, this may not be for everyone, this may not be for anyone, but I must ask, are you burdened tonight? Do you have sorrows? Are you facing challenges and problems you have not an answer to? Does it seem that the world has gone mad? Have you become increasingly disillusioned? Do you battle discouragement? Do you feel alone and isolated sometimes? Have you been down on yourself lately? Do you struggle with the sting of rejection and/or misunderstanding? Have you thought at times that life really is unfair? Are you teetering on the edge of hopelessness? Has the enemy succeeded in getting you to focus more on the negative than on the positive? Do you live in dread of the year ahead? Have your dreams died and you've basically resigned yourself to a life of unhappiness? If you answered yes to even one of these, I have news for you tonight. A Savior has been born. His name is Jesus. He loves you when others don't, and he understands you when others won't. He knows your heartaches, your fears, and yes, your pride and stubbornness. But He loves you anyway, and He wants to give you joy. He wants to come and redo your heart and your thought life and your attitudes and your outlook. Not in a condemning, accusing way. He came to save, not condemn. But He wants to bring life and joy to you. He wants you to be joyful. And when you really get to know Him, you will be joyful, because He is the essence of joy. With Him, you can be joyful in any situation. Without Him, no situation, no matter how perfect, will ever be enough. He came that you and I might have life and have it to the full. And a key feature of that life is joy. Open your heart to His joy this very night by yielding your life to Him unconditionally. And you'll have His joy. Christmas joy the whole year through for the rest of your life. And just as it was that first Christmas, don't be surprised if you find that joy is contagious. But don't worry. The world could use a little more joy. Don't you think? As we come here shortly after the choir ministers to us, we're going to have communion. And communion is a very sobering thing in the sense that it's a reminder of the price that Jesus paid for our salvation. But at the same time, it's a commemoration of joy. Because of the price He paid, all of my sins are forgiven. As I heard one minister say one time, he said, "If the Lord Jesus never did another thing for me in my whole life except just forgive me all my sins, that would be more than enough." So even as we partake of the communion, if you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, really know Him as your Savior, then you're welcome to participate with us in communion. Our deacons will bring the bread to you, and we'll all hold it until we all partake together, and then we'll do the same with the cup. But yes, the joy of Christmas. Oh, I hope you have that joy in your heart tonight. And it is a joy that does endure for all eternity. It's not affected by outer events. It's not affected by external circumstances. It springs from in here when we know the Savior. Shall we pray? Father, we come to You tonight. What a wonderful occasion to come here and to commemorate something that happened in a little town about 2,000 years ago. A lot has changed, but our sinful condition hasn't changed, and our need for You hasn't changed. And the salvation that You purchased for us through Your Son's death on the cross, that hasn't changed. And the fact that Jesus Christ is risen and is Lord of all and is now in glory at Your right hand and one day will soon come back, that hasn't changed. Oh, Lord, tonight, thank You that Your word is true, that it is sure, and that all who open their hearts to the Lord Jesus receive that same gift of love and salvation. Thank You for loving us that much. Oh, Lord, may we love You in return, and may we share that love every time You give us the opportunity, and may others be able to see what Your love has done in us and for us and through us. We love You, Lord. We thank You for Your gift. In Jesus' name, amen.